Please, and turn to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, the last book in the New Testament, and turn way to the end, to the 21st chapter. Thank you, choir, for leading us. They are so faithful. The word is out that you can join the choir at any time. Let me say just a personal word as we begin, if you will allow it. That's fine, Eric. Y'all are the sweetest people anywhere. You know these other churches where I've been transitional pastor? I thought they were the best and the sweetest. We're not in competition, but you all are pushing right to the top of the top. And we appreciate your warm welcome to us, my sweet East Texas bred wife. I dare not begin to mention names because I would just really need to do this up and down every pew. But let me mention two, may I? Two couples. You know, you don't get any finer than Wesley and Kay Lee. You just don't. They are wonderful, dear people. And then in these days, the kind of upfront folks who kind of guiding me as I stumble through assimilation at Pine Hill, you've got Terry and Kathy Hartman. Do you know them? They are marvelous. But then, when you start naming names, guess what the biggest dilemma is? You'll leave somebody out. I can talk about Harrisons and Joneses and on and on. But thank you from the deepest resources of my heart. That's not the word I wanted, was it? Recesses? I got an English specialist on the front row. And as you've noticed, she is not shy to kind of help me and urge me on. The book of Revelation, I know you're hungry. We will not tarry. But I want us to look at this. This is a very uplifting message today from the last of the Revelation. Revelation 20 tells us what to expect when the Lord comes again. And we all will face judgment. But then you get to chapter 21 and part of 22, and it tells us what heaven is like. This is our focus today, and what it'll be like for those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you think much about heaven? Do you? Think about what it's going to be like in heaven. Somebody said heaven is a little like Florida. The climate is marvelous and everybody has relatives there. Well, I guess I could change that and should to say South Georgia and particularly Grady County. Heaven. One mother did, I think, a bad thing. She presented the idea to her little son that what he did or did not do, good or bad, decided whether he went to heaven. Maybe it worked. She said this, "How do you ever expect to get to heaven acting the way you do?" And he said, "Well, I plan to run in and out and in and out and in and out, and St. Peter's going to say, either stay in or stay out." Well, what's it like to be in heaven? I've got a friend who was born and raised in Grady County. One day he started dating a young gal. Her name was Patty Pierce. So it wasn't long that my friend Carrie had fallen in love. I mean to tell you, head over heel, goggly-eyed, silly grin, palpitating heart in love. And somebody asked him one day, how is your new relationship? And he said, oh, it's wonderful. It's better than wonderful. It's great. No, it's better than great. It's super. No, it's a lot better than super. And I think as we read this morning from the scripture, we're going to discover a place that is better than any place. It's better than good. It's as good as you can imagine a place to be. And yet it's even, what? Better than that. It's better than that. I want us to look at a couple things the scripture gives us, truths from within that reveal to us some things about heaven that you may have never thought until today's study. First of all, heaven is a place. It is a literal place. It's not an idea or concept or philosophy. Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And very appropriately there, as he spoke to them before he was to die on the cross for your sin and my sin, he shared with them about heaven, where he was going and he knew they would be. And he said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. Literally, it means dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place, a literal place for you. Remember our point? Brother Jason is so efficient. He's helping us with our outline today on the screen. Heaven is a place God has reserved for you since you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You remember the scripture says the apostles after Jesus' resurrection went everywhere preaching what? The resurrection of Jesus. It was their theme. All of their sermons had one theme, the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible. You know what an inheritance is. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. So if you're here today and you've turned from your sin and you've given your life to Jesus, you've been saved, you've been born again, you become a Christian, you've been regenerated by the Spirit of Christ who lives in you. You have a place in heaven. It's a marvelous thought, but beyond thought, it's a marvelous truth that we have from the Scripture. Secondly, heaven is a place of great luxury. Look in your Bible at verse 11 in Revelation 21. Having the glory of God and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Heaven is a place of great luxury. In heaven, you will lack nothing. Golden streets, diamond-studded walls. It's as luxurious as a place could ever be. And yet it's what? We're going to be keying off the title of our message today. It's what? Better than that. Thank you. It's even better than that. Thirdly, heaven is a place of ultimate safety. Verse 12 says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Would you want to ever stay in a place forever? that was not safe. And resoundingly, the congregation said, no, not at all. You will be safe in heaven. You know, that's good to be reminded of this morning, because there are a lot of things going on in our world today and in our nation today that might, if we focused on them, make us feel unsafe. Thank you. Unsafe. In heaven, we will be safe. Our culture is preoccupied with safety. I read a story of a lady in Memphis who was so concerned about her safety that she finally bought a pistol, learned how to use it, and carried it all the time with her in her purse. One day, coming out of the mall, she saw a man sitting in her car. She marched over to the car, pulled the pistol out of her purse, pointed it at the man, and said, "Get out of my car!" And his eyes got this big, and he jumped out of that car and ran away. She got in the car, took the car, put it in the ignition. It wouldn't start. It wasn't her car. They say that's a true story. I'm just glad I wasn't that man. I would have aged in that moment. Heaven's a place of ultimate safety. But it's better than that, this section cried. It's even better than that. It's not only a literal place, a place of great luxury, a place of ultimate safety, but it's a place of immense size. Look in verse 16. "And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the root," excuse me, "with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and height and breadth of it are equal." All right. That's kind of wordy there and a little disconcerting to understand. However, this is the way it is. Heaven is a, y'all help me, it's a box. It's a sphere, because it's as deep, and according to this measurement, 1,400 miles. It's 1,400 miles deep. It's also what? 1,400 miles wide, and it's also 1,400 miles high. Now what that shouts at me is, there's a lot of room in heaven. We're not going to run out of room in heaven. Picture this with me, you geography buffs. We've got the United States here, and you got New York all the way down to Miami. The width of it, from Miami all the way over to Mexico, from Mexico all the way up to South Dakota, and from South Dakota all the way back to New York City. Width, breadth, height, 1,400 miles. Just amazing. It's immense inside. Jesus is saying, there is plenty of room in my Father's house for everyone. Lastly, heaven is perfect in nature. Chapter 22, verse 1. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing the 12 crops of fruit," etc., etc., etc. Heaven is a place. It's luxurious. It is safe. It is huge. It is environmentally perfect. Everything about heaven is perfect. We could go on to read that. "A river flows down the main street. On either side are fruit-bearing trees. The fruit changes." This is not a tip for anyone else, because I've told you in our visitation, We will call you, and if you would like for us to stop by, we want to, very briefly, only with permission and with appointment. So we stopped by one place, and on the way out, they gave us, what were those? Tangelos? Tangerines? Tangerines? Well, anyway, it was an orange fruit from Grady County, Georgia. And it was very good. And I've prayed for that couple every time I've eaten one of those little sections. Yum, yum, yum. Well, in heaven, the fruit changes all the time. Every month. The leaves will make you well. Those of us who have had some health challenges would have loved to have some leaves to make us well. God can do anything he wants to do, but it really doesn't work that way now. But it will in heaven. The water's not polluted. There's always health, life, goodness. There's no pollution in heaven. There's purity. But that's not the main teaching here. Follow this. The main teaching here is about what you will be like and what I will be like in heaven. Everybody jump up, do some jumping jacks, and say praise Jesus because of what the scripture reminds us of here today. If this is about you and what you'll be like, it's about God and about what it will be like for you to be with God. Look at verse 27 in Revelation 21. I hope this isn't painful. You got your Bible open right there. You may need to flip a page. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. This speaks of the purity of heaven. This speaks of, you ready? Everybody sit down. It speaks of your purity. What you're going to be like in heaven. I love this. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Your name is in the Lamb's book of life as a Christian. And you will be pure when you get to heaven. You won't do anything shameful. You won't say anything you wish you could take back. You won't hurt somebody's feelings. God makes us like himself. Everyone is equally loved. You know, I thought growing up, my parents surely loved my brother and my sister more than they did me. Now, that's a joke, folks, because I am the third of three. I'm the baby. Anybody else here the baby of the siblings? We're going to meet at lunch. There's two tables there for us, and we're going to start our own little fraternity. We know what it's like to be the baby. The rest of you didn't have a choice. My wife's the baby, too. It's great to be the baby. But everyone's going to be equally loved, appreciated. Everyone's contribution is going to be important, and you're going to know it. You know, I could go on about what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to do all day long. You know what we're going to do? We're going to work. Oh, please. I've worked my whole life. Cut me some slack. In heaven too? Yes, you're going to work in heaven. It's going to be productive work. It's going to be work Jesus gives to you. And you are going to love it. This is the smart section today. You're going to love it. You're going to love working in heaven. Brother Rich, don't you leave us hanging out there like that. Tell us more about that. I wish I could. I told you on my first Sunday here, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what that work will be. We all know what we want it to be for us. We're going to be kind, helpful. Never do something or say anything to hurt another human being. It's going to be a marvelous, marvelous thing. Look with me at verse 22. We're moving toward conclusion here. When we look in chapter 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Guess what's probably not? Ooh, this is risky. Y'all, this is risky. Later you'll say, Brother Rich is the king of risk takers. There will be no church in heaven. Some of you are saying, okay, I'm just going to hang out till I'm 180 right here at Pine Hill, and we want you to. But what does this really mean? It's hard to explain, and I don't have all the answer. It means that heaven is going to be such an environment, an atmosphere, and such a presence of God, to be with God, to like God, to love God, to be thrilled to be with Him all the time in His presence, that it's going to be, you ready? It's going to be like being at Pine Hill Baptist Church, but maybe even better. I'm not sure that's possible. But we know that it's what? Better than that, Pam says. It's better than that. Because that's what the scripture says. What a wonderful thing. Well, let me close. Heaven. I know we've looked at this kind of through the back door a little differently than you thought of before. You're going to think about that lady in the parking lot with her pistol aimed at that man. That's what you're going to remember. But you're going to remember that as safety and security, and that's going to quicken your spirit to think of the message today about heaven and that we're safe in heaven. An addendum. May I add it? Can I digress? My son is a detective. Best detective state of Florida has ever had. I'm a little prejudiced. So he told me he loves his mama. Don't ever come between Teresa, a boy, and his mama. You lose if you do that. He loves his mama. So we live three doors away from them. And he told me, he said, Dad, your house is the safest house in Leon County. Could be. We live down a little asphalt road. Brother Terry's been there. We live down a little asphalt road that curves like this, goes to the house. There is no way in, no way out, except that little asphalt road. Can't see the house from the street. Brother Greg's been there. Now, what dumb thief or burglar would go down that little driveway and get down to the house and get pinned in and get what? Caught, Lauren says. That's exactly right. He'd get caught. We were kind of feeling, you know, a little big-headed about that, Missy. And we thought, well, this is pretty good stuff. And then we had some teenage boys that decided they wanted to go through the neighborhood at night and break into all the unlocked cars, rifle through them, get in the glove box. Said they were looking for money or guns. And I don't have either in any of our cars. They did not. Yay! They did not come down our driveway and come to our house. Maybe you do live in the safest house in Leon County. Heaven's going to be a marvelous place. Do you think about heaven much? About your going there and what it's going to be like? pardon me. I'm just an old conservative Southern Baptist. And I know what my dwelling place is going to be like. It's not going to be like yours. You know why? Yours is going to be exactly what you're going to love for eternity. And so is mine. They're going to be different. Tailor made. Just the way you would want it to be. One's going to heaven are the ones who have given their hearts and lives to Jesus. And so in a moment I'm going to have a prayer. And during that prayer, you can give your life to Jesus. If you don't know for certain, you've turned from your sin and been born again. You see, that's the only way to go to heaven. Do you know Newsweek magazine, several years back, did a special on evangelicals? Do you know who evangelicals are? Well, if you're an active member of this church, you is one. We're ones that believe the Bible literally. We believe that Jesus came and lived and died again. We also believe, there's a lot we believe based upon the Bible, It's our rule for faith and practice. But one thing we know is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Which says to me, there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Perhaps in our invitation time, you would come and rededicate and recommit your life to Christ. Maybe coming in praise because you know you're going to heaven. And it's all that we've studied this morning, it's even better than that. What a smart congregation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes, even as we pray, would you give your heart and life to Jesus? Maybe someone watching through our live stream. Praying a prayer like this, Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all of my sin. By faith, I'm now asking Jesus to come into my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me today. Help me to live for Christ. And with your head still bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time and really meant it, the Lord from heaven in the person of the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in your heart. You've been saved. You're bound for heaven. All these things we've studied from the scripture today, well, it's even better than that. Perhaps you're here today and some area of your life you've gotten away from the Lord. It's time to come back. It's time to come back. Through confession, God forgives you. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here today and you need a church home, we invite you to come. I recommend it. I'm the newest member. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to stand, and I'll be here at the front to receive those who would like to come by stepping out and making way to the front. Brother Wesley's going to be leading us. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. It's everlasting. It's unconditional. And we rejoice in it. Today we're filled with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And we commit and recommit and rededicate our lives to His Lordship every moment. These are our prayers today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless each of you. Let's stand together. Will you come as we sing?